You might have noticed the last couple of weeks we've been doing a series called Next Steps, and this is week three, and we've subtitled it Owning and Growing in Your Faith. And we wanted to, you may have heard others have said this, but we wanted to start this year with this series because we want to tee up the rest of the year well by focusing on and prioritizing our spiritual growth at the beginning of the year, because we're just so convinced that our spiritual health affects every single other area in our lives, and we want to help each other thrive and do well this year. And also because we're just so aware that as humans, we have a natural tendency to just stall in life. And we're seeing that sometimes with ourselves. Maybe it might be like June or later on in the year when we're all feeling tired. But sometimes even at the start of the year, January, when we're supposed to have vitality, we're feeling tired spiritually. And we wanted to just help each other with a few catalyst areas to help each other gain momentum and move forward. Just like maybe, I don't know, a favorite youth pastime would be running up escalators the wrong way. So when it's coming down, you're running up. Life's a bit like that. When you stop moving forward, you start going backwards. And so we wanted to spend some time on some big blocks to help us take a next step and to own and to grow in our faith again. The first week, Doug spoke about personal worship. Last week, Quinn spoke about corporate worship and belonging in community in a significant way. And today I have the privilege of speaking about serving in the church. Next week, Doug will speak about serving the world in a more general way. But today, we're looking at serving the church specifically. And my first experience of serving the church or serving in the church, it was an old memory, and it came to my mind when I was prepping this. But Doug and I have known each other for a very, very long time. When I was a young youth, he discipled me. He's been discipling me for years. And we went to a McDonald's that had just opened up in the area. I know for some of you, I've just offended half the church by using the M word. But it had just opened up, so we decided, me and Pastor Doug, to go to the McDonald's and to get some lunch, and we made the mistake of going during lunchtime, because if you've tried that, it's chaos. And so we got to the front, and I gave the guy my order, and I don't think if I pronounced it wrong, or I got the order wrong or something, but he was confused, and he kept getting it wrong, and eventually had to call his manager in to clear the order, and it was a big mess. So he told us, look, just wait to the side, I'll come sort you out now. And about 5 minutes later, he comes saying, look, sorry, God, I'm sorry for serving you so badly. Please forgive me. And I just started saying, look, this guy's a pastor. Like, that's his job. Like, he pronounces forgiveness over people. Like, don't you know that's what he does? And he ends up saying, no, don't worry, okay, your meal's for free. Like, don't worry. I just want to serve the pastor while, you know, I know I might be disappointing you, but I take serving the church very seriously. And so, well, that's the story of how I grew in worship that day, and how God taught me about the blessing of walking in the shadows of holiness. And that just got my mind thinking about serving the church. I know it's just a silly example, but God has designed us as a church to all lean in as individual members, as we use our spiritual gifts and contribute, that week after week as we meet together on Sundays and during the week, that God would grow us in health and maturity, and that all his purposes for his people would be realized through how we're leaning in together as a church. And as we talk about serving in the church, it's just so important outright, and I'll mention this a few times, that this is not just about functions and operations. It's not just about keeping the church operationally effective and keeping the wheels turning. It's so much deeper than that. This is about spiritual health and maturity, because God does something crucial in us and in the lives of the people around us when we lean in and serve and use our gifts. God loves to work in us and through us, even if we're completely unaware of it. And so a definition of what I'm speaking about. Quinn gave us a great definition of corporate worship last week, so I thought I'd do something similar this week, is that serving in the church, I define it like this, that it is the people of God partnering with and empowered by God to do the work of God among the church of God for the purposes of God. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but I'll say it again. It's the people of God partnering with and empowered by God to do the work of God among the church of God for the purposes of God. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about serving in the church. It's that God has saved us and made us his people. And as a result, we commit ourselves to this local church and get stuck in so that God would work among us and in us and through us week after week for his glory and our good. So this morning, we're going to just unpack what that means. What does it mean to serve? Why does it matter so much? How can we do it in this local church? And we'll be jumping around through a few different Bible passages, but I've structured this, and we're going to look at three different headings, servant he, servant me, and servant we. Servant he, servant me, and servant we. So let's look at the first one, servant he. If we're going to spend time talking about serving in the church, there is no better place to start than with Jesus, the one who has served the church better than any other, the one who defines what godly and biblical and true spiritual service looks like. So the first scripture we'll be looking at is Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. It'll be on the screens here. And it says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." So the guy that wrote this, his name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He wrote the book of Philippians. And the context here is that he's talking about serving each other. And we'll look at the verses that come before this a little later. But what he's saying here is that if we're going to understand what serving each other looks like, there is nothing else to look at except the gospel, because that gives us the definition of what it is to serve each other. By the example of Jesus and by the work of Christ, what he's done. Because servanthood begins to take shape as we consider the gospel. So look at what he's saying. This is amazing news. It says, even though Jesus was God, he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he didn't count it as something to hold on to for himself. But because he loved us, he let it go into the world, took on the form of a what? A servant, and demonstrated his love for us by dying for our sins in our place on the cross, so that we can have forgiveness and be reconciled to himself. That's why Jesus is the ultimate servant. He saw humanity drowning in sin and without any hope. And so he came into the world to deal with our sin and give us new life. That's what Paul is saying, that the gospel shows us best about the nature of serving people. It's about emptying ourselves so that others would be filled and served. And that's what we see in the gospel. Because God did not have to come to earth. He is perfect. He's self-sufficient. He's complete. He lacks nothing. He doesn't need us. But in love, he saw our struggle, because he's not ignorant. He sees our sin. He sees our pain. He sees our suffering. He sees all the sin we've committed and the sins that have been committed against us. And in love, he chooses to come into the world as a what? A life coach? Does he come to give us good advice about how to fix ourselves so we can make our way to heaven? No, it says he came as a servant and a savior. He came to serve us at great cost to himself. He came to give us life by dying. Came to serve us. This was Jesus' whole purpose in coming to earth. Take a look at Mark 10:45. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." No one deserves to be served like God, right? This is God we're talking about. And what does Jesus say? No, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. How? By giving his life as a ransom for many. And I don't know about you, but this is excellent news for us this morning, that this is the hope we have that we can grab onto once again this morning, that all our sin has been taken away when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has done it all, that he has served us by saving us. And if you are a visitor, that's not, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet, you're just checking it out. That is the hope for you, that you can have new life in Christ because of what he's done for you. It's just such good news on offer for us today. And it's a verse that tells us some really important principles as we look at a sort of definition of what it means to serve. It says, it implies a few things. It says that if we're going to take serving each other seriously, it's going to cost us something. It might cost you your time or effort or finances. It might cost you something more. It says that if we're going to be intentional about it, it would be good for us to grow in self-forgetfulness so that we can consider others' needs more. It says that the heart behind serving is so that people would be met with the grace of God. And so it would be good for us, this as we move from that, servant he, to consider servant me. How does how Christ has served us affect how we serve in response? So let's look at serving me. I think there's just a thing we have to be honest about, is that we're bad at thinking about others and serving others. We're not as good as we should be. The biggest stumbling block we have to serving others is ourselves. We're experts at serving me, myself, and I. We just have a tendency to become oblivious to others' needs, even though we are so acutely aware of what we need. And self-service and self-obsession and selfishness take over, because that's what sin does. It turns us in on ourselves. And so we need a miraculous meeting of grace in us to turn us inside out, to be able to serve others and become more self-forgetful. This is just something that we've all struggled with. We need God to help us, to free us to serve. Let's look at another text. This is something I'm talking about here. This is something even the disciples of Jesus struggled with. Have a look at Mark 9, verse 33 to 35. It says this, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house," this is Jesus, "he asked them," the disciples, "what were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. So he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." So they'd been arguing about who's the greatest, who's the most awesome, the most impressive, the most magnificent, and Jesus doesn't sit them down and give them life hacks about how to be more likable and have more influence. He gives them a lesson on the kind of person we need to be who God celebrates, and that's a servant. He says that if you want to be the greatest, if you want to be first, then you need to be last. If you want to be the kind of person God celebrates and the kind of person God is calling us to be, it's not about success or impressiveness or anything else. Primarily, it's about being a servant. And I think one of the things Jesus is doing here is he's clarifying our Christian identity. He's saying, as part of our core identity, serving wouldn't be something we do. He would say being a servant is something we are. And as a result, that we'd come to live like that more in his church and in the world. And I said Doug will be speaking about that part next week. But this week, we're talking about serving in the church. I think Jesus would just encourage us to be a servant, not just to attend church, but to move from attending church to volunteering in the church to being a servant in the church. And you might have picked up on it. Sometimes we use the word volunteer by mistake. But we don't want to use that word ever here, because a king doesn't have volunteers. A king has servants. And we want to use the correct terminology as we remind ourselves what we are. who he has made us. He's made us servants. We're servants of the living God. And so we serve in the church for our good and for his glory and for the good of the church. So how do we get there? How do we grow in servanthood? How do we get our hearts in a place where this is something we want to do and we're just desiring more for God to use us in this way? How do we get there? And there's maybe lots we could mention and talk about. I would just say two things. First thing is to grow in humility. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 1-3. Says this, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, this is Paul speaking, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And what is that one mindedness about? Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let's just read that again slowly. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others, in other words, regard others more significant. That's a rank word in the Greek. Consider others higher than yourself. And I think what he's just saying is very simple, is the first step to growing in a serving attitude is to grow in humility, that we'd be less and less consumed and obsessed with our own stuff so that we have more room in our heads to consider other people and to be people who are more self-forgetful so that we can serve others. Someone said, and I can't remember who it was, but they said, humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And that's what God would do in us, that as we think of ourselves less, he would clear our mind to have room to consider others by giving us a heart that wants to see others served well and cared for. I think the second thing is that we could just grow in a love for others, that God would just give us a deep concern to have others served and loved and cared for. When a Pharisee came to Jesus and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment of the whole Bible? Jesus kept it very simple. He said, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus defines the sum total of God wants from us by the word love. And I think that if we're going to glorify God and serve each other in selfless love, it's going to come from one place, from a depth of love, that God would just give us a longing and a willingness to lose out and a longing to have the people around us served well and loved. Just that sacrificial love that we'd even be willing to serve at great cost to ourselves. So one of the things that I've been thinking about just with this particular section is just what's changed in me as I've become a dad. I became a dad 8 and a bit months ago, and it's changed me in every way. But specifically, probably the number one way it's changed me is this, just a desire for to love my daughter well. When I just look at her, I hold her, there's nothing I wouldn't do for her. There's absolutely nothing I wouldn't do for her. There's nothing I wouldn't be able, be willing to lose out on so she can have. I would be willing to just give up things so she can have things. Why? Because I love her. It's not even a difficult thing. I love her, so I want the best for her. And I think what God would be calling us to is to grow in that same sort of love for each other, that serving each other in a sacrificial and just a concerned way. We'll just become part of who we are and a natural result of loving each other. Because serving comes as a natural result of a deep love. Just even as we consider the gospel, that God has loved us to death, literally, to give us eternal life. And so that's the picture that God is painting for us as we just consider serving the church, to act in humility and love so that we would see God's grace take root in each other and in ourselves as we serve. So what does this mean for us? Let's look at the last point, servant we. just as we consider the message of last week, which Quint spoke about belonging in community, being relationally connected in the life of the church and loving the church. This is just such a natural overflow of that message, because the reason I say that is because one of the results in growing in love for the people of God, it is a desire to care for them and see them served well. So just as we talk about service, we're talking about the fact that real love shows up in action. So let's read, I apologize for this, I've left the longest passage for last, but it's the most important one, so please come back and let's focus together. This is 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about practically how do we do life together to serve each other as a church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 7, and then 12 to 27, starting from verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It's a bit of a complicated passage, but it is a beautiful picture of the church, that we are God's design, that we are one body with many parts, and that God has given every single part, right, that's you, a spiritual gift or a gift mix to serve in the life of the church. No one can say that they don't have a spiritual gift. No Christian can say they've got nothing to contribute. It's not true. God has given each one of his children spiritual gifts to serve the church. And one of the encouraging things that the text tells us is that the body needs all the parts to be strong. There's no gift too small. You know, we tend to rank gifts and think of those gifts as amazing, and we should pursue those. And sort of the lesser gifts we think are more dispensable and irrelevant. But have you ever just considered your thumb or your pinky toe? They're small, they're sort of irrelevant, but if you've ever stubbed your pinky toe, you start to realize just how much you need it to work properly. Or your thumb. It's the weaker bits that we think are just irrelevant. We actually start to realize, no, we need every part for this body to work well. We need every single part. And God has gifted you for that purpose, to lean in that the church would be strong and work well. And I think God's heart for you this morning would just be to encourage you and maybe just call some of those giftings out of you. Some of you have gifting in you laying dormant, Because you're not letting God draw it out of you. You're not leaning in to have those things come out and be used by God in amazing ways. I just encourage you, just step out of that dormancy into your full potential of what God has put into you. God has put something amazing into you to bless the church and to serve people and love people well. Some of you might have gifts of miraculous gifts like prophecy, healing, tongues, and those serve the church in an amazing and unique way, and we should pray for more of that. But there are lots of gifts to consider. You might have the gift of hosting. You might have the gift of helps. You might have the gift of prayer or encouragement or mercy or admin or whatever it is. Serving the church is an amazing thing, yes, for the church, not just functionally, as I've said, but that we would grow in vibrancy as a community. But it's also amazing for us as individuals, because when we serve, we're becoming more like Jesus as he served the church even unto death. One of the things that happens is that, you know, as we develop our gifting is that God starts to work through us more and more. And that just builds faith. It builds an increased hunger to want to be used by God. And you might be saying, look, Dave, I don't even know what my spiritual gifts are. Like, I get that I might have some, but I have no idea. My encouragement to you today is just simply this. One of the ways we learn what our spiritual gifts are, in fact, I would argue the best way, is by serving. You can take 100 spiritual gift assessments. There is nothing as good as learning it on the ground. That you can assess how it went. You can ask, because we're also blind of our own abilities, we can ask other people to assess us, and together we can say, yeah, God, in that area, things took off. Things were flourishing and thriving. Maybe you've wired me for that. And we can say, when I did that, things died. Maybe that's not my area. Maybe that's my unspiritual gift. But God uses all of those things to grow us individually, that we mature, we take our next step to mature in faith by serving. And maybe one of the most important things I could just say today as we consider our purpose statement as a church, just to remind us, PCC, Parkers Community Church, exists to help more Joburgers love, follow, and enjoy Jesus. Maybe we can just consider this next point, is that serving the church makes God's love visible to the world. And serving here is one of the things God uses to demonstrate his heart for the world. Every act of service here is a redemptive act of love to a broken and hurting world. You might have never seen serving in that light, but just consider that God uses every piece, every single piece in the puzzle of his redemptive story of grace. So when the welcome team is here putting out chairs, we're not just putting out chairs. That chair could be the seat someone sits on when they come to faith. When you welcome someone in the door, you're not just giving them a hello, a generic hello. No, that could be the reason they choose to make their home here, and God takes them from strength to strength and grace to grace. It could be coffee. I mean, we know, drinking coffee is an act of worship in itself, but drinking coffee, that just that act of hosting could be the reason people find family here. And God uses that to draw people in. Just every chord you play, every prayer you play, every child you serve, everything. This is so much more than operations. This is God using it all to pour grace into people. And that is what we have the privilege of being part of week after week. So just as we close, just as we consider this week, as I said, Doug will be talking about being a servant in the rest of life next week. But today, just as we consider serving in the church, there might be just two things for you to think about before the service ends, maybe. The first is maybe just to simply get involved. Pray and consider where and how you can get involved in the life of the church. Consider which serving team you can join. Doug will speak about that a little later, but we have a little sign-up sheet that you can put your details and get stuck in. Maybe you just want to prioritize serving in the church and just take that first step of engagement. to love people and get stuck in. Maybe your takeaway this week, apart from joining a serving team, is to just ask God to help you get more intentional. That every week as we join together as a community, your eyes and ears and heart would be open to meet the needs of the people in this room and on the campus. God would just use us to make us alert to the needs of people, and that we would intentionally be on the lookout. It could be bringing a frozen meal for a family who's in need. It could be filling a food bucket for the students. It could be praying for someone next to you, or just welcoming a new face you've never met before and fetching them some coffee. It could be inviting someone to your community group. It could be just asking God for a word of encouragement for someone that day. Just that God would open our eyes and heart to meet the needs of people here and serve them well, even as he pours grace into people through what we do. And so that's where I think we need to just take some time to respond now, church, that God would help us just serve him because we love him and we love his church and we want more of his grace to be poured out into our own lives and into the lives of the people around us. So maybe let's just pray together. As the band comes up, we can respond to God. God, thank you so much that you love us and for the love you have shown us in the gospel. Lord, we're just so aware that this isn't just about keeping this ball rolling and being operationally effective. This is about what you have done on the cross coming to bear on every person's life when we gather together. And we're just so thankful for that love you have shown us in the gospel, that you served us so that we would receive life. And this morning, we just want to take that step of surrendering to you. You have done everything to win us to yourself. And we just want to lay our lives before the King of Kings again this morning. And we pray, God, that you would give us a heart to serve the church, to just be used by you in the lives of pouring out grace in other people's lives as you work through us. And we just pray, God, for in all that we do, that this would be for the name and glory of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about this church. It's about your kingdom and your glory, just growing and blessing people as you pour out grace and love into every person's life. We just pray that you'd give us a vision and a heart getting stuck into that and becoming Christ-like as we work with you and being empowered by you to serve the church. Amen.